thank Jim and Luis for giving me the opportunity to talk here. And I also want to thank them. The journey, we had, it was postponed, this meeting. I have really enjoyed all the organizing we have done together. So thank you very much for the support to organize this. So anyway, I'm going to talk. I have this short talk about polyatomic ultra-long range molecule. And let me start with a recollection of all the RIDBA molecules. So most of them have been seen already here. And they are like, the first case is like a RIDBA state of a molecule. Here we have just rubidium-2 as an example. And one of the electrons is highly excited. That will be like classically what it was known as a RIDBA molecule. Then we have another option, which is to have the molecule in the ground state, but vibrationally excited, and that will be this case. It's electronic ground state, the molecule, or in any electronic state, the molecule is vibrationally excited, that this energy states approach to a RIDBA series. And then we have the microdimers, where we have two RIDBA atoms interacting, and then we create this kind of RIDBA molecule. And then we were talking today, I mean, they have seen already like the talk of Thomas and Tom, Tom and we have this proposal for already like many years ago, 22 years ago by Hussein and Saktepur and Chris Green, where they proposed the system of this ultra long range RIDBA molecule, where we have here a RIDBA atom interacting with a ground state atom. And was 9 years later, was experimentally produced by the group of Tillmann Pfau. And since then, there have been many successful groups working in that system. And here we have the other kind of RIDBA molecule, the new fresh one that they were producing, the group of Tillmann Pfau a few months ago, probably a few weeks ago only, where we have this RIDBA atom interacting with the ion. And we have seen this already. And what I'm going to talk here is, sorry, this doesn't work. What I want to talk to here today is about the other kind of, another kind of RIDBA molecule, where we have a RIDBA atom interacting with a diatomic molecule. This was first proposed 12 years ago by Seth Rittenhouse, our chairman here, and Hussein Saktepur. And the idea here is we have the binding mechanisms. Now we have the anisotropic scattering between the RIDBA electron with the diatomic molecule, and what it produces is the binding of the molecule within the RIDBA orbit. Actually, this molecule should be inside of the RIDBA orbital. And what we have here is this the potential energy curve that they first published here, where we have the energy of the bonds of the electronic structure as a function of the internuclear distance, and they have this left and right potential. We have this potential where they could accommodate bound state, and this left and right depend in which direction the dipole moment of the molecule is pointed, either towards the ions or away from the ion. So this is the kind of molecules I'm going to talk today. And what is happening here is we have a RIDBA atom. And the RIDBA atom produces an electric field due to the RIDBA core and due to the RIDBA electron. And what we have in addition is a diatomic molecule. And in the field-free space, if the molecule is more or less well-behaved, the diatomic molecule could be described as a rigid rotor. And in field-free space, I mean, in gas phase, they are just rotating. The dipole moment is pointed any direction. And then we have here the rotational kinetic energy within this rigid rotor approximation. If we add an electric field, we add a static electric field, the dipole moment of the molecules orient. And that means that we have confinement of the molecular fixed axis in the laboratory fixed frame. And in addition, we know where the dipole moment of the molecule is pointed. That will be a classical picture where all the dipole moment is pointed towards the electric field in that direction. And the interaction goes with the dipole moment with the electric field. And if I change the direction of the dipole moment of the electric field, then the orientation just changed. So now our system is, here is the RIDBA atom. We have the core here with the electron. And the total Hamiltonian is described by the in the adiabatic approximation within the Bohr-Oppenheimer approximation. We have first the interaction, the RIDBA electron Hamiltonian. Then we have the dipole moment, the Hamiltonian of the molecule, where we have here the, what I wrote before, that will be the Rydberg electron Hamiltonian. And here we have the field-free Hamiltonian of the molecule, including an electric field. It's important that this molecule, the dipole moment, is not too large, because otherwise the electron of the Rydberg atom will be captured. It could be captured by the diatomic molecule. And this is the Fermi-Taylor critical dipole moment where the dipole moment should be bounded by that one. In addition, in our description, we include the interaction with the electron, the scattering of the electron with the diatomic molecule. Today I'm mainly going to talk about rubidium scission. And this is done by the Fermi pseudopotential that we have seen already. And then we include here the S-wave scattering length. Only the S-wave for this kind of system. And then we have to solve the Schrödinger equation associated to the Hamiltonian. And we just do the basis set expansion in terms of the electric a part of the Rydberg electronic wave function with the molecular wave function. This is uses in this coupled basis, and the molecular wave function is just the field-free rotational kinetic energy. We are now working using two diatomic molecules for that one, inspired by the experiment of Kang Kwen Ni in Harvard and Simon Cornish in Durham. We are using either potassium rubidium or rubidium cesium. And that's the experiment that Simon Cornish had in mind. His idea is to have in two optical tweezers, in one of them the diatomic molecule, and in the other one the Rydberg atom, and to have an interaction. So if we consider how far at this tweezer, we started to consider, okay, Simon Cornish's group worked with rubidium cesium, we consider, okay, let's excite cesium. And considering that there are two different dipole traps, optical traps, they could be excited to this n equals 70. Here they are the energy state of the cesium Rydberg state, and they are using rubidium cesium, which is the dipole moment, and this is the rotational energy. And then when we think about the system, when the atom and the molecule are very far away, what we just have is this energy limit where we have just adding to the Rydberg energy, we add the rotational excitation. When we come close is when the molecule is going to form. And this is the spectrum we see here for this case. We have here energy as a function of the internuclear distance. The core is somewhere here. And then when we separate, we see this energy scale that I told you. Here is n equals 70, the degenerate manifold, and these are all these states that they are coming down from the degenerate manifold due to the interaction with the molecule. And then we have here the 73p state of cesium with the molecule in n equal to 4, and here we have the 74s with n equal to 0 in the diatomic molecule, and that will be the state. So our question now was thinking, and that will be 70f, with the diatomic molecule in the ground state. Now, if we come and we see how they come and interact, we were thinking, okay, if they come in this channel, how will be the interaction here? That we find this avoided crossing, will be decrossed diabatically or not? And for that one, we have computed the Landau-Zahner probability of crossing this. This is around here as a function of the internuclear distance. And we have these lines here, the red, the blue, the green, and the blue, are for different velocity, relative velocity of the atom with the diatomic molecule. And what we see here is that for the lower velocity, that is still too high for the ultra-cold regime, we see that the probability decreases, and most probably in the ultra-cold regime, this crossing is going to be crossed adiabatically, so it means we will come down here, and we will form the molecule in that state. And here we have all the bound state, a beautiful series of bound state where this molecule could be formed. And there we try to check, do we have any S character? Because we are coming in this channel where we have 74S. And indeed, we don't have any. All this state, this is for all the bound state, or many of the bound state I have here as a function of the bound state, I am plotting here the contribution to the wave function from the different partial wave. And I differentiate between S, which is the red, the F, which is the blue, and the sum of all the high partial wave, which is the green here. And what we see here is that all these states are mainly dominated by the degenerate manifold coming down from the state. And this is also reflected in the dipole moment. These states are characterized by huge dipole moment around 6,000 atomic units for mainly all the, for all the states that we have here. We also thought what happened in these up states here, where we have a strong avoided crossing between these two curves. And here we have the zoo of a state that we get now. We are doing, we have Bohr-Oppenheimer doesn't hold any longer. It breaks, and then we have to consider the coupling between the two bound states. And these are all the states we are analyzing right now, taking into account that the bound, the lower states are not really affected by this coupling, but the upper ones are. And these are all the states that we get when the contribution from the lower potential in the upper one are larger than the 10%. If we consider only 50%, you see that this is look a little bit nicer. The dipole moment is large still, around 1 kilodivide, and the energy difference is very large, and they have also like dissociation rate, they are large because of the coupling to this bound state. So now taking into account what happened when they're both on the same level, on the same potential, we went to n equal 30. When they're both, sorry, in the same trap, we will consider they're both in n equal 30. One, this is the result for n equal 31, energy as a function of the internuclear distance. Now this gets more complicated due to the Rydberg series of cesium. We have here 35S, no excitation in rubidium cesium, with one excitation, with two excitation, with three excitation, and the same for F. And if we come in the channel here, what we see is that the avoided crossing, again, this is all, again this Landau center probability, we see that all the avoided crossing that we encounter here are going to cross mainly adiabatically, so in the ultra-cold regime, they will go down and they will form the molecule here. All this potential have a number, we have this number, and what we did was to find the ground state in each one of all of them and trying to see how are, which are the characteristics of the bound state there. And this is again the contribution of the different partial wave as a function of this index in the well, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. And what we see is that this lower state here until 7, they're again mainly dominated by all these highly partial waves coming from the degenerate manifold. And only the states up here, they have a significant S wave character that will be up here. The dipole moment, is this is also reflected on the dipole moment. We have that all these states in the lower state, they have large dipole moment around 1 kilodivide, but the states up here, due to the lower mixing between different partial waves, they have a significantly small dipole moment. And we are also working to find out how this avoided crossing work out. This is the avoided crossing between these two states. These are the bound state. What we see is that only up here, these states are significantly affected by this avoided crossing. We have dipole moment around 1 kilodivide and large splitting. And now, if we go even higher here, again, we have this complicated structure where we see all these states are not really affected by the non-adiabatic coupling between these two curves, but the upper curves is significantly affected. So they have, this is now again plotting when they have a 10% contribution of the states from the lower potential, and they have a large decay rate for all of them. So now I'm going to give part of the talk that Hussein was supposed to give this morning with the before the coffee break. That was the other kind of molecule we are working, is the NO with NO biomolecules. We started this work when I went to visit him just before the pandemic really exploded. And this is a working collaboration with Jannings, Setzer, Hussein, and myself. That was one of the last pictures I took. And then Hussein, I realized we were not really taking into account social distance then. It was already imposed, but kind of we ignored it completely. So NO is a lambda doublet molecule in the ground state. And that means that a lambda doublet molecule in the ground state, that means that this is the rotational structure we have in the ground state. And due to the large rotational constant, we can just concentrate in these two states here, that the splitting is around 200 megahertz. There are several orders of magnitude between different. And that the advantage is that NO, it could be described as a two-state model with a small dipole moment. But due to this small energy difference, the effect of having another Rydberg atom, a Rydberg molecule close by is very large. So if we look to the, this is the how the energy electronic structure of NO as a function of the internuclear distance look like. This is the ground state. And what we want to go is somewhere here to an Rydberg state in order to have the interaction with the Rydberg molecule NO with a ground state molecule NO. And then you have here the path to go up here. So we want to go to this NG state because at the longest lived at microseconds. And we were able to use the quantum defect. This is the quantum defect as a function of, I think it was the inverse of the principal quantum number square. And the quantum defect, they have been computed by Jonathan Tennyson in Imperial College, and we were using them to compute the wave function that we were afterwards using in our computers. So the system now is similar. We have here the Rydberg wave function, the Rydberg Hamiltonian of the NO. We have NO in the ground state. We have the interaction between the electron and NO due to the electric field. And in addition, we include the collision of the electron with NO. And we were able to include the S wave and the P wave collision. S wave was approximated with electron affinity. The P wave, we took it from an experimental result. And taking into account that there was a resonance for the P wave interaction. And that's the result we got. This is for N equal 15. That's the potential as a function of the internuclear distance. This is when we only include charged dipole interaction. And if we include in addition the interaction with the electron and the Fermi pseudo potential, we see here the resonance. It has significantly changed, mainly in the inner part, the potential. Sorry. But what we see here is that NO, these levels here, they look very shallow. This one and that up to that. But they are deep enough to accommodate several vibrational bound states. So the molecule, this NO-NO bimolecule will exist. And if we go to even higher N principal quantum number, this is for N equal 40, we have again all this potential. The resonance is inside, so it doesn't really affect now due to the size of this molecule, of the excitation with N equal 40. And if I look to this potential over here, the upper one is here, we see that the diatom, all this bound state in green, and the curve in green has several bound state. And now in this bound state, the diatomic molecule, so NO plus will be somewhere here. And then the diatomic molecule in the ground state, it's the dipole moment is pointed either away from the core or towards the core, depending on the internucleus distance. And I'm almost finished, Seth. It could be observed with thermal vapor cell, and due to the broadening, probably it will be only possible to see a broadening. And with that one, I would like to conclude saying that we are working with rubidium, this Rydberg molecule, and then with Kang Kwen Nee and Simon Cornish to see if they can produce it, and the Rydberg biomolecule, NO and NO, Tilman Fow, and with Harald Kluwe, we are working on that one. And in case you are still willing to go to a conference, I was asked to please advertise the Call and Control Molecular Ion Conference, which is taking place at the beginning of September in Durham University, and is organized this is the speakers that we have there. I am among the speakers, but I'm very sorry, but I was asked by David to do it. And in 1 year, you're also welcome to come to the European Group of Atomic System Conference, which is going to be done in the beautiful Strasbourg, and is organized by the group of Guido Pupillo and his team. And with this, I really finish. Thank you for your attention.
We have some time for maybe one or two questions before we can all get off to lunch. Open up the floor.
So you mentioned about the trade-off between dipole moment and the energy interval, for example, between these lambda doublet levels.
The effect of the dipole moment compared to the charged dipole?
The interval between the opposite parity.
Say again?
So the interval, the frequency interval between the opposite parity levels. So in the RBCS.
Okay.
Yeah, so on this next slide. The question, so you said NO was good because the lambda doublet is split by 200 megahertz.
Yeah.
But the dipole moment is kind of small, 0.1 dBi. My question is, if I have 10 times the dipole moment, but 10 times the splitting, is then the situation the same? So for example, if I tried to make this molecule with helium and ND3, I would have a dipole moment of 1.5 dBi.
We are computing this actually,
okay.
But we don't have the number yet, but we are computing it.
Yeah.
And it I am not sure if it will be the same, but there should be some bound state.
Okay, thank you.
Other question?
Okay, so thanks for a nice talk. So could you go to one of these energy levels for the Lagrange molecule? Sort of
for Rubidium cesium?
Yeah. Thank you. So if you don't stay in the, for the two, okay. For the one, probably. For the four, three, five. But for this one, do you have, do you have the full energy landscape of this? Of these potentials, or you take cuts through this one, so you have the full.
So what
energy.
You mean? How they were computed? So like I have this R is in the internuclear distance, and we have assumed that they don't. So like I'm fixing. I'm not in.
Okay.
Moving
good.
The.
So basically, that was the question.
The
okay,
angle.
Thank you. But it's along some direction.
It's along the. It's along the. This is along the internuclear axis of the molecule.
Thank you.
If you have a brief question, we might have time and maybe have to get off some lunch.
Hi. Just a very quick question. With the rubidium cesium molecules, is there any specific reason that you're looking at cesium for the single atom rather than rubidium?
I mean, actually, at the end, they were going to do the experiments. We were trying to check which one was the best mm-hmm. one. And the point is, like, this kind of... the fact that you have, among all this state coming from the degenerate manifold, you have S state emerge, like here in the middle of all this state, increase the depth of the potential coming from an S state. And that's due to the coupling of all these states. And that's come for free in cesium. So in cesium, we can have it with the diatomic molecule in the ground state. In rubidium, that's much more complicated to get. And then you need to excite the diatomic molecule. And that's what we were doing at the beginning with cesium. And it is essentially the Rydberg structure of cesium, which gives this coupling for free, and then this potential are enhanced in case they have these two photon excitation going to S state.
Thanks.